to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 61 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. I hope everybody had a great weekend full of racing, maybe even a little March Madness basketball. I know I enjoyed some hoops, and I'll get into that a little bit later with Aaron when he checks in for some weather this weekend at Martinsville. The West Coast swing, it's over. And so is Kevin Harvick's winning streak. But I will get into that here in a little bit. Another huge show lined up for you guys. Atlanta Truck winner Brett Moffitt is going to call in here in just a few minutes. Going to recap Auto Club, preview Martinsville. As always, Aaron will be on a little later to talk about the weather. We'll get into some March Madness with him, too. Fire up the Wave Around Hotline. Recap fantasy and get to the picks. So that said, hope everybody enjoyed last week's show with the boys, Rusty and Sherwin from the PETM podcast. Make sure you check those guys out. I know they are doing their show Wednesday night this week. So make sure you either download their show or even tune in live on their YouTube channel. Get over to their Twitter account at PETM Podcast for all the links to go subscribe if you want to interact with their show live. I try to pop in there as well. Their chat is always interactive in terms of the listeners' chat while they're doing the show, so that's a good time. So make sure you check that out. And if you haven't already, make sure you check out episode 60 with those guys from last week. That said, get ready here for Brett Moffitt here in just a second. Another week without truck racing. So if you love truck racing, like I know most of you do, make sure to tune in Saturday for one of the more exciting truck races of the year as the boys will be racing for the clock at Martinsville. Sadly, after this weekend, the trucks are off for 5 weeks and will not be back on the track until May 4th at Dover. I'm going to ask Brett about that, get his thoughts on that. So without further ado, here we go. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, driver of the number 16 Assen Group Toyota for Hattori Racing, Brett Moffitt. Brett, welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast.
Yeah, thank you. It's awesome to be on here, and glad to talk a little bit of racing with you tonight.
Absolutely. So, all right, real quick, how was your weekend? Did you get to do anything fun for St. Paddy's Day or take in any of the March Madness craziness?
I'm actually an anti-sports fan if it's not racing or golf. So all my friends give me a lot of crap about it, but I'm not a huge basketball fan, and they're disappointed I didn't fill out any brackets with them, but had fun over St. Paddy's Day, hung out with some friends, and really just looking forward to getting back to the racetrack this coming weekend at Martinsville.
Awesome. All right, so I know it's been a couple weeks since Atlanta, but talk about that win. You guys had a solid day all day, top five both stages, brought home the win. Can you talk about the early part of the day and then maybe highlight for everyone that last restart there?
Yeah, with the we're running the Toyota OEM engine versus the new NT1 engine, which a lot of the teams are running. And, I feel like in qualifying, it hurts us a little bit just on pure speed. But once we get into the race, it kind of outweighs it, and it becomes more of a push at that point. So, we didn't qualify as well as we thought we could have or as well as we wanted to, but the truck drove really good in Atlanta with the old surface. That's really important. And, even early in the race, we got shuffled back a little bit, but we were able to rebound and, just have a solid day. And we made a lot of good passes and put ourselves in contention at the end, which is what you need to do. And, luckily we were in a position to be able to be aggressive on that last restart. And, they left the bottom open just enough, and I was able to get there. And when I saw them racing behind us, I knew that was a good sign for us, and we were just able to drive away there for two laps.
That's awesome. Can you talk about that, the engine that you guys are running? Does that make a difference whether you're running a bigger track like Atlanta versus a smaller track like Martinsville this week? Does that impact performance in terms of how you might view that?
Yeah, so I think, we're still kind of learning where the pros and cons of it are, but Mark Conquest and everybody at Joe Gibbs Engines builds a really, really good engine for us. And, you know, it seems like the NT1s have a little bit more just overall power. And when you're wide open for a lap in qualifying, it seems like it just edges us a little bit. You know, I feel like we've always felt, you know, between Atlanta and Vegas on the mile and a half, we felt that we had the speed to go up there and contest for a pole. But when qualifying rolls around, we just find ourselves struggling a little bit to get the most speed out of the truck. And but then in the race, with the throttle response of the OEM engine and just how well it drives, it kind of outweighs that power difference. So at the mile and a half, it seemed to be, you know, really competitive on both ends for both engine options. I know at Daytona, we were definitely struggling a little bit there in the draft. And just running wide open all night long. But then at Martinsville, I think, you know, if anything, we might have a little bit of advantage because we can run more rear gear. So it'll help us off the corners and help us a little bit on restarts. And, you know, I could have different words to say after Martinsville because we haven't been there yet. But, you know, just hindsight of where we're looking forward to what I think is going to happen. You know, those are my beliefs.
Sure. Awesome. All right. So you've run part-time for the most part, cup and truck over the last few years. Talk about your new alliance with Hattori Racing and how that came to fruition.
Yeah. You know, I've been talking to Hattori Racing for a little bit during the off season and they weren't exactly sure on what direction they were going to go. So it was really a last minute, decision, for us to compete together. And I've actually had success in the past with Shiggy Hattori as the owner in the K&N series. So I was able to get him his first win in the K&N series and his first win in the truck series, which was, it's really special to be able to do that. And Shiggy works incredibly hard to build a very successful race team. And he's got all the right people in the place, in the right places. And just everything he does, he's so dedicated to it and to the sport. So it's really special to be paired back up with him. And he's definitely the kind of owner you want to drive for. He's laying everything on the line.
That's literally what I was just going to say. You could tell he is all in to make this team a success for you guys. And it's shown early on this year. You know, they had success last year as well. But, you know, for you guys to be able to go out there so early and get a win in 2018, that's awesome and just shows the dedication that he as an owner has.
It's really impressive what he's put into it. And it gives us and Scott Zabili, the crew chief, he's given us all the right tools to do the job. And that's what makes it successful.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's nice to see a team like that be able to go out there and compete week in, week out, you know, with the KBMs and all that out there. So that's awesome to see. So you guys have had 2 weeks off. You're going to run this weekend at Martinsville, and then you guys are off for 5 weeks.
Remind me.
So is it hard to get into a groove when you're running that kind of a sporadic start to the season? Like, I can't, I mean, you guys got to, I know you guys are itching to get in the trucks. What's the 5 weeks going to look like for you guys?
You know, it really is a difficult, you know, start to the year because, you know, everyone gets used to traveling again and living out of a hotel and just getting in the swing of things. And then it kind of shuts back down. So this year was actually a little bit better than years past where they added Vegas in at the beginning of the season for us. So that was, we're all thankful for that. But, you know, we definitely used this 2 week break to kind of regroup and rebuild and finish some of the trucks that we're building for later on in the season. But 5 weeks is going to be a long time. So, hopefully the weather's nice. I can get out and play some golf and
awesome.
And, try to make it pass as quickly as possible. But I know the guys will be working hard on trying to improve where we're at even more. So, you know, they never quit and they never take a day off and it's everyone's so dedicated to their job that, you know, we'll be able to utilize this break coming up again to try to get even better yet.
Very cool. Talk about the shop and the atmosphere with your crew, your team. Is it different from teams you've been with in the past? What's the relationship with, you know, a few weeks into a new season with a new team?
You know, luckily I've worked with probably 90% of the guys on the team in the past, whether it was at Michael Waltrip Racing or at Red Horse Racing. And, you know, me and Scott have been able to work together a few times now. And the general manager, Mike Ricci, was the crew chief for my K&N East car when I ran at Michael Waltrip Racing. So I know a lot of the people there, and I think that's what kind of helped us jive and gel so quickly and right away. And, you know, everyone there is – Mike Ricci has done a great job of just putting the right people in the right places. And I think that's what makes us so strong, you know, because we don't have the biggest shop and we don't have the most trucks, but the way we're doing it is the right way to do it for our situation, and having the right people that are 100% dedicated to the job and are truly passionate about doing their job is what makes it really a successful program. And, you know, it's just fun, you know, especially when we're having success this early. It's a lot of fun around the shop. And, you know, I know we're going to go through hard points of the year, but everyone's dedicated to do the best job they can and to make these trucks even better for us.
That's awesome. All right. So this week, heading to Martinsville, you've got one truck start there last year, sixth place finish, which is awesome. Talk about what it's like racing at Martinsville. There's going to be, you know, you're going to have your veteran truck Martinsville dominators like Johnny Sauter and Matt Crafton out there, and probably a couple cup guys, I would imagine. You know, what's it like to race there, and how do you prepare for a track like Martinsville that you haven't had a ton of experience at?
You know, Martinsville's it's a tough place to get around. You know, it's a short track, but it drives so much different than the short tracks you race on growing up. And it's almost, you actually see a lot of road course drivers have success at Martinsville. It seems like just the way the braking zones are and the way you got to get off the brake and let it roll for a long time before picking up the throttle. So, you know, it's intense racing there. You got to stay up front to try to stay out of trouble. And that's definitely one you need to be there with the vehicle in one piece at the end. And that's going to be your best shot at going for a win. So, you know, I think if we can get up front and just stay out of trouble most of the day, we'll be there again at if there is a late restart, and we'll be there and have a shot at it. But, you know, we ran one K&N race, and I was fortunate enough to win that one there at Martinsville. And then, like I said, the truck race last year and a couple cup races. So
yep.
I got a little bit of experience, but it's a tough place, and it's one that you're always learning at.
All right. So you guys have an early win, basically a lock for the playoffs. Did that change the approach at all in terms of how you as a team looked towards the rest of 2018?
It definitely took a big weight off of everybody's shoulders, that's for sure. And, you know, it just gives a more positive outlook for the rest of the year. I wouldn't say we're going to really do anything a whole lot different. But it does give us the freedom to go after more stage wins, which are very crucial for the playoff points, and be a little bit, you know, risk it a little bit more in circumstances like that. And then maybe we'll get into the heart of summer, and if we don't feel like we're good enough to go win a championship, we'll have time to do a little bit of experimenting before the playoffs start when we're running three or four times a month, which, you know, but right now we just got to go out there and do what we know how to do. And, you know, kind of see where it shakes out here once we get in the summer and start racing a little more.
Sure. You know, you mentioned the playoff and stage points there. I think people caught on very quickly last year. I remember when the announcement came out, the impression I got was people were kind of fluffing it like that one playoff point. But when you've got guys like Kyle Busch and some of the cup guys going out and kind of stealing playoff points in that regard, if you got the shot to go and get those proved to be very valuable, especially in truck in the Xfinity series, because those playoff points were so far and few between earned between those series regulars.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, and I think we watched Martin Truex last year, even in the cup series. What it'll do is it gives you that safety net of if you have a bad round of the playoffs, you can still rely on those points to help get you through to the next round where you can kind of reset and go after it again. So the playoff points are really crucial of stage wins. And, you know, all that's doing is putting a little bit of insurance in your back pocket that, okay, we can go out there and have at least one bad race in the first round and still should be good to go and still in the playoffs and in the title hunt.
Absolutely. Well, Brett, I don't want to take up too much of your time. You want to hit everybody with your sponsors, all that, and tell everyone where they can follow you.
Yeah, as Shiggy, like I said, man, he works hard, and he's over in Japan right now. trying to fill out the sponsor schedule. But so far, you know, Eisen Group and Advix AW has been a huge supporter of the program. I know over the years, even back to the K&N days. So hats off to them and just everyone at Toyota family for giving us the right tools to get the job done. And, you know, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, it's at Brett_Moffitt. And on Instagram, it's at Brett Moffitt Racing. So make sure to follow along, and I'll try to give you guys the most updates I can.
Awesome. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Brett Moffitt, driver of the number 16 Aston Group Toyota for Hattori Racing. Brett, thanks for coming on Lap Traffic Podcast. Good luck this weekend in Martinsville.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Thanks, man. Well, that was very cool getting to talk to Brett there for a little bit to occupy the truck segment, since we didn't have any truck racing this weekend. And always cool to talk to those guys from the truck series, any series, really. It's a lot of fun to get to talk to them. Like I said, if you are a truck fan, make sure you tune in Saturday for the Martinsville race, as those guys are going to be off for 5 weeks after this weekend. That said, let's head over to the Xfinity Series. It was the Joey Logano show for the Saturday afternoon race with the Xfinity boys, winning stages one and two and winning the race. He dominated all day, much like Kevin Harvick did at Atlanta, putting on a clinic for the field out there. Hope those guys took some notes from him, because he just went on a tear all race, not showing any signs of struggling there, that's for sure. Let's take a look here at some of the other finishes. You know, I've been saying it the last few weeks, Allgaier, Sadler, man, those guys are definitely going to be the two most consistent point getters, not just from a fantasy perspective, but from a standings perspective as well within the series, finishing second and third, and right up there in the standings as well, which I'll highlight in a minute here. Let's see, Cole Custer. He's gone on a nice little tear, finishing in the top 10 the last three races. Good to see him rebound from that 39th place finish at Atlanta, because that's definitely not what they were looking for there. Who else? Daniel Hemric's got three top tens in the last three races, which is awesome to see. And how about rookie Kaz Grala? Really taking note of him with a few top 15s and a top five from Daytona. Keep in mind, these last five races for the Xfinity Series are his only five races in that series. So to be pulling off some finishes like that is really impressive from a rookie perspective. Let's see. Rookie Christopher Bell. You know, he had a little seat time in the Xfinity Series last year with eight races. You can't take away the fact the first five races in 2018, he's got three poles and three top fives. Just a matter of time before he's getting the checkered flag in the very near future there, I would have to say. Big props to Lap Traffic alum BJ, finished 22nd and on the lead lap, which is a big W for those guys. Hope to be able to see that team improve over the season, maybe get a few top 15s. I know that would be incredible and a big win for those guys. Over to the standings, Sadler sitting there in first place. Rookie Tyler Riddick from the Daytona winner from the Xfinity Series. He's only 4 points out. Not bad. And technically, he's the point getter, really, with when they if they were to reseed with the playoff points there. Justin Allgaier in third. Chris Bell in fourth. Daniel Hemric in fifth. Cole Custer in sixth. You know, I talked at length with PETM last week about the lack of playoff points. Tyler Riddick's got five, Allgaier's got one, and Christopher Bell has one. Those are your only playoff points earned by the Xfinity Series regulars. So that is definitely going to be something we're going to want to keep an eye on as we get going here in the season. Well, the Xfinity Series actually has their first weekend off of 2018 this weekend, as well as the following week for Easter. So those guys will be back on the track Saturday, April 7th at Texas. Looking forward to that as spring definitely starts to move into most of the Midwest here. It's the first day of spring. Sure as hell doesn't feel like that here in the Mitten State. But opening day is right around the corner, which means warmer weather is soon to follow, which I am very excited for. All right, over to the Cup. Martin Truex Jr. gets it done on the big 2 mile track. Auto Club gets his first win of the season. Both race winners this weekend swept the race, which was pretty cool to see. You know, it was obviously only a matter of time before Martin Truex Jr. gets his first win of the year. Before this week, though, 4 races, he had 3 top 5s. He was knocking on the door, so no surprise to see the 78 team right back in the thick of things. And defending race winner Kyle Larson almost got it done, bringing it home second. Got into it early there with Kevin Harvick, and, you know, 42 team was able to get the car back, you know, bonded up a little bit there and out on the track, and definitely did not slow that car down at all. He's another one expect to see. I wouldn't have been surprised had he gotten this won this race himself. Won it last year, won both Michigan races, so I was not surprised at all to see Kyle Larson running like he did, and expect to see him up there as well. You know, Kyle Busch, also 4 top 5s through 5 races, right in the hunt as well. The top 5 from Atlanta, in my opinion, really shouldn't surprise anybody. Truex, Larson, Kyle Busch, Keselowski, and Logano, both with a handful of top 5s already. Let's see here. You know, to me, this was a typical Fontana race. It was what I expected. Not a lot of cautions. Not a lot of cars on the lead lap. To be honest, only, 10 cars finished on the lead lap. It was a strong day for Stewart Haas Racing. 3 out of the 4 cars, Boyer, Almirola, and Kurt, all in the top 15, which is nice. 5 races. Worst place for Eric Almirola is 13th. That is starting to become very consistent and very strong, which is awesome to see for that 10 team. And Eric Almirola, you know, it's no surprise he's had some struggles at some of the other teams he's been at. So maybe things are clicking with the teammates, the team, the car, and all that for him. So to see 5 races with the worst finish being 13th for him, that's pretty cool. Solid day by HMS, too. All four cars in the top 16. Chase Elliott finished 16th, Byron 15th, Bowman 13th, Jimmy Johnson with his 9th place finish there, which is the best of the season that he's had at a track that he's dominated in the past. So I guess not really a surprise. Maybe it might be a surprise just based on the 48 team's performance the first 4 races in prior to Auto Club. You know, and Jimmy also has his fair share of Martinsville clocks. You know, Jimmy hasn't had a lot of speed these first 5 races. It'll be curious to see if he can carry this top 15 over to Martinsville, where speed necessarily isn't as critical as it is to some of the tracks that we've been at so far. And nice little bounce back there by Bubba this week. Top 20, solid day for those guys. It's going to be fun to watch those guys grow and develop and hopefully improve their finishes little by little each race. Over from a standings perspective, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Kevin Harvick. Kevin dropped quite a bit there with that bad finish there and getting into it with Larson. Truex has closed the gap from a playoff perspective with Harvick as well. Harvick's got 11. Truex now with 7 with his sweep this past weekend. Let's see. No surprise where we're going this weekend. Martinsville, early spring race there. It's always a lot of fun. And then they're off as well for the Easter break after this week. So I'm probably going to take the week off, too. Why not? All right. Over to some social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download, Stitcher, Spreaker, Blueberry, Acast, Google Play, Player FM, and, of course, Podbean and iTunes. Close to the giveaway. I got to get a picture of that retweeted out there, get a little retweet thing going on that again here this week at some point in time so we can give this autographed Kevin Harvick car away that was donated by a listener of the show, which was very cool. Some quick shout outs over on Facebook. Paula Majetchwick from Iowa, big Austin Dillon fan. Over on Twitter, Nate Webster at NASCARGuy10, aspiring NASCAR journalist. Welcome to the show. My buddy, Zach Lesway at ZLes5 from Novi, good friend of mine. Went to Monday Night Raw with him. Maybe he's not that good of a friend. It took him this long to follow on Twitter. Might have to give him some crap for that. Bill McGove at Bill McGove from Chicago and a big Kevin Harvick fan. Welcome to the show, guys. Make sure you tell your friends. Check out the website for the Amazon portal if you want to help support the show. T-shirts, all that good stuff. Koozie stickers going out weekly in the mail. All very exciting. All right. Couple silly season news. Haven't done this since the season started, really. Lowe's leaving the 48 team next year after 17 years. That's crazy to me. You know, I think that Lowe's is one of the last few companies that have invested fully in a Cup team as the primary sponsor for not just a full season, but 17 years worth of seasons. And those companies have slowly started dwindling away. You know, we saw it with, DuPont with Jeff Gordon. And even when Jeff Gordon was still racing, you know, Pepsi started to have a bigger presence. And then the switch over to Drive for Hunger, the financial commitment is just so great. You don't see these companies investing for the full season just because of how costly it is. I was surprised to see that they're just dropping off completely, not even reducing the number of races. They're just going to try other avenues from an investment standpoint. You know, and from a driver's perspective, you know, Jimmy was pretty lucky. You know, obviously they had some other minor associate sponsors, if you will. But if you got one primary sponsor, you've only got one obligation really to be responsible for. You know, I know Jimmy did a lot with Lowe's and outreach with the organization, employees and their charities and that sort of thing. But it's still just one that you got to worry about. You know, if you've got five or six different sponsors throughout the year, that becomes more of a burden, so to speak, on the driver in terms of the obligations that they may have to do to keep that sponsorship, because they need that sponsorship to get to the racetrack each and every week. We saw it a couple weeks ago with Matt D, trying to solicit and get sponsorship. Solicit's the wrong word, but, you know, going out to the fans, trying to bring new sponsors into the sport and to the cars is not easy to do that. And, you know, they're going to be investing a lot of money. And so they obviously want to be able to interact with the driver and do things with them, you know, as kind of a, hey, scratch my back, I'll scratch your back sort of thing. And the drivers, you know, they obviously understand that. But the more sponsors you have, the more obligations I think you have. So that might be something that's a little different for Jimmy Johnson next year in terms of that, if he's not able to secure a full sponsor for the entire season. So that's going to be interesting to see. And like I said, it's one of the last few sponsors that's been in the sport a long time with one team. It's just not something you see too often, just part of the changing of the guard within the sport itself. Let's see. So there's that. One other note was those who don't make a qualifying lap because they don't get through inspection will not only start at the rear of the field, they must serve a pass-through penalty going down pit road with the first green flag lap. That is definitely a severe penalty for not getting out to qualifying. I know there were a bunch, handful of cars that did not get through this past weekend. That's a tough penalty. You know, there's only so much time in the day between the cars getting on the track, getting off the track from practice, going through inspection each time, pre and post. I know there's been some talk about trying to do the post qualifying and the pre-race inspection kind of simultaneously. It's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. You know, you're basically going to be starting a lap down, no pun intended there. So that's going to be very interesting to see, and I'm curious to see how that works and talk about that a little bit more as it develops and we see how it pans out. And lastly here, Landon Cassel and for Jeffrey Earnhardt at Starcom Racing. that's going to be good to see Landon. It's a tough break for Jeffrey Earnhardt there. You know, I know that team was struggling to pull sponsorships together just to be able to get out there even for Daytona. And they've been able to keep it together for a few races there. And now Landon Castle's going to step in this weekend at Martinsville, which is going to be cool to see him back on the track. Curious to see the development there, how you know, is he coming in full time? Is he going to finish out the season? I'm sure that'll be sponsorship dependent there, but it'll be nice to see Landon back on the track. All right, everyone, back for the favorite new segment of 2018, Mr. Aaron Studwell. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather. Check out the website, raceweather.net. Aaron, welcome back. How are you, my man?
I am doing well. It is a beautiful day here in Houston.
The sun was shining here in Michigan. It was definitely a little deceiving. It looked a lot warmer than what it actually was outside.
I remember those days in Ann Arbor. You were correct.
All right. So real quick, how was the rest of your trip to Kentucky?
It's good. Very relaxing. Very much what I needed. Good time with family, good progress on the dissertation proposal, which is done.
Excellent.
And, you know, it's nice seeing family. I said, it's good to do that every now and then.
Excellent. All right. So you and I are continuing the good luck for our Maize and Blue boys. Sweet 16, baby.
I know. It's been an interesting run here for me because I'm doing my doctoral work at the University of Houston.
Oh.
We beat them.
Yes.
We go up against Texas A&M, where I did my master's. We'll beat them.
Excellent. I like the...
That's funny, because I got two invitations for Thursday night, one from the Aggies, one from the Wolverines. I'm like, oh, no, Wolverines. Going to go hang out with some amazing blue folks on Thursday night.
Excellent. Yeah, it's been a... I mean, my bracket was... You know, over the first after the first round, some very interesting upsets, and I don't know if you had a chance to watch any of the other games outside of Michigan, but it's been.
I did. My wife's a UMBC alum.
Oh no, really?
So we all get issued glass slippers on that Friday night.
That is so cool. That was crazy.
That was amazing because it's like. You're watching it, and it's 21-21 at the half, and my wife's like, are you cheering for UMBC? I'm like, well, kind of my bracket, and I'm being realistic. But then all of a sudden, oh, my, UVA is just not going to catch up.
No, it got real quick at the end there.
Yes.
And tough break for the Spartans out against Syracuse there at home, basically, playing here at LCA in Detroit. That I wasn't expecting that, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think a lot of people were. Oh, well.
I love it. It's funny. I went out with
a friend of mine. He's like, well, she's like, how's the bracket? And I'm like, oh, I've got my Elite Eight are left. Oh, there goes Cincinnati.
Yeah, right. Yep. Well, it's funny. We went up to the bar down the street on St. Patrick's Day, and, you know, everyone's got green on. I've got my bright Maize and Blue Michigan basketball t-shirt on, and I literally had some people come up to me, and even a couple of Michigan fans were like, dude, even I'm wearing green just because of the day. I appreciate the dedication you have to not wearing green. I'm like, normally I would, but the mere fact Michigan was playing, you know, and all that, I'm like, nope, I can't do it, so...
I had blue shorts and yellow. My yellow Michigan shirt on. Blue and yellow make green. You know what? I'll work it that way.
There you go. I like that. I didn't even think of that. All right, my man. Well, we will root them on to victory Thursday, and hopefully we can continue talking about our boys all the way up to national championship game. Would be sweet.
Yeah. Be talking that Tuesday after the championship game and be figuring out which t-shirt I'm going to order.
There you go. Absolutely. I'm with you. All right. So nice job this past weekend at Auto Club there.
Thank you. I was real happy. We had talked about actually the rubber being washed off with those Friday night showers and moving out. And that's exactly the case it wound up being. So pretty happy with how that forecast panned out and not impacting racing either.
Absolutely.
I mean, a little bit of a delay with some of the practices, but nothing.
Yeah. Not the important stuff. Right.
It is.
What are we looking for this weekend at Martinsville?
Unfortunately, usually I talk about bringing ponchos because it's going to rain. This week I want to be talking about you're going to bring your winter coats and your ice scrapers.
Wow.
Yeah. Friday's going to be nice. Friday, sunny. Normal highs in the low 60s, normal lows in the low 30s. It's going to be in the mid-50s and the mid-20s in the morning.
Jeez. That's
Saturday.
That's cold.
It is cold. Yeah, I think it's actually going to be breezy in the afternoon, but you're going to be up in the mid-50s, so wind chill is not going to be a huge factor. This is where it gets interesting. Saturday, cloudy. We've got a pretty good chance of snow in the afternoon.
Oh, wow.
It's just a matter of when it's going to arrive.
Okay.
NASCAR, if you're listening, I would look to start that race as early as practical.
They're not. You don't have to worry about that.
I'm not saying move it up 3 hours. Move it up an hour. It may buy you a little time. High of 47, morning low of 27.
Wow.
That snow is going to continue into Sunday morning. 1 to 2 inches, a total accumulation. It could be more. I'm going a little bit on the conservative side here, saying 1 to 2. Fortunately, the cloud cover may hold in, but the precip looks like it's going to clear out by Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
So we could be, if you get through track clearing and drying, however they want to handle that.
Right.
You're going to be
something
looking
they
at a
deal
high
with
around
too often.
40 on Sunday, lows right around 30 in accumulating snow.
Wow. That's not something we're used to talking about.
No. It's like they're having it in MIS or something.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. The last few weeks, especially with the West Coast swing, each week you were talking about unseasonably cooler temps at those tracks like Las Vegas and Phoenix. And it's definitely carrying over as we get back closer here to the Midwest.
Yeah, it's funny. That's a good point. So for Sunday, I'm kind of optimistic about the racing if the track's ready to go. I think from a cell phone, from a Skype standpoint, we're okay.
Okay.
But, you know, how's the track going to be? I think that's probably the bigger question.
Wow.
And I've seen somebody posted a picture of Martinsville with snow on it, and I'm going to have to go find that. I may ask you, Martinsville followers, so I have to may actually ask them for a picture if they have one.
Nice. Wow, that's crazy. Snow in the forecast this weekend. That's nuts. Absolutely nuts. All right. Well, I hope you're not as right as you were this past weekend, just because it's not going to be fun for anybody.
No, but if I'm right, we're actually going to be able to get some racing in. Start a little bit early, or we at least get to the second in the stage two, and then if they can get the track clear, it's just that kind of in-between time. It's going to be cold, so I wouldn't ditch the poncho, but definitely pack your winter coat and scrapers if you're going.
Sounds good. All right. Well, Aaron, thanks again for calling in for the weather. Everyone, make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon. And go blue.
Go blue. Thanks, Brandon.
Yep. Talk to you. All right. Another awesome weather segment there from Aaron. Can't believe we're potentially talking about snow when we're talking about NASCAR. All right. It is time for the Lucky Dog segment this week. What do you say we fire up the Wave Around Hotline and get some of your calls on the Wave Around Hotline, 248-965-9538. All right. Let's get to some calls. All right. Well, unfortunately, I gave it a few minutes there. Didn't get any calls in. It's a work in progress with the phone there. I'd tough it out a little longer, but my throat is a little raspy tonight. Not sure if you guys are going to be able to tell that. So I am just going to press on here. Got a bunch of tweeted responses, which is awesome. Tim at T-Trip, 14's Lucky Dog, Martin Truex Jr. School is out of session with Harvick and now in session with Martin Truex Jr. Lapped down the 18 crew for making wrong adjustments. The PETM Podcast at PETM Podcast, Lucky Dog, Kyle Larson. Harvick's kind of dumb mistake with the 42 team being able to fix the damage and finish in second. Lap down is Kevin Harvick. Lisa at LL Chinana's Lucky Dog. Jimmy Johnson started 32nd and got a top 10. lap down Kevin Harvick in the move he made that stopped him from getting number four. Captain Redneck at Redneck underscore Captain's Lucky Dog Blaney's good finish. Lap down Kevin Harvick. Buddy Andrew Cancian at Cancian says his lap down is his spending of $33 at Outback. I'm with you. And no Bloomin' Onion this week. Mick at Go Ducks, Go Ducks 42 underscore Mick. Lucky Dog Larson had some crazy stuff going on and still was able to finish second. Lap down 13 cars failing to make an attempt at qualifying. John at Dean Ader's Lucky Dog Penske, three cars, top eight, hashtag swinging up. Lap down, Elliot and Amarola went backwards after being in the top 10. Adam at Anderson Z, Adam 10's Lucky Dog 42 for the P2 after a long day. Lap down, NASCAR 13 cars failing doesn't mean you make up a new rule. Offering stickers for the start. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog 42, as if I need to say why. Lap down NASCAR on Fox being all about Harvick until his wreck, then bandwagoning over to Martin Truex Jr. saying it's another championship run. They're killing NASCAR on TV. Joe at JoJo underscore 6040's Lucky Dog Martin Truex Jr. because he didn't have Harvick to mess with. Lap down 18 pit crew. Thank you to everyone that continues to send in the responses and call. We'll continue to make the wave around hotline a work in progress here, and hopefully it continues to grow throughout the season. All right, let's do a little fantasy recap here. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern time on Friday. Keep up the interaction on Twitter. All right, let's see how you guys did this week. Martin Truex Jr. and Sadler would have gotten you week-high points this week, which Jeff Klock did and earned 108 points. Five people picked Martin Truex Jr. for the win this week. Jeff, John, Noah, Urban, and Wes. Nice job there, boys. Over to the top 10 and standing still in first place, Tommy Witt with 610. Holding strong in second is Chloe Yunker with 596. John is in third with 580. Paul is in fourth with 564. John Elliott is in fifth with 559. Cancian is in sixth with 554. Aaron Lamp is in seventh with 550. Jeff is in eighth, 547. Our wonderful weatherman, Aaron Studwell, is in ninth with 546. Tasha is in 10th with 538. And big props to the MOATF podcast, who moved up 13th in the standings. And what do you know? I've actually cracked the top 50. Don't forget, the points are going to reset here about halfway through the first segment. And then we'll keep a cumulative total as well. My picks for this week didn't do too bad. Justin Allgaier finished second, and I had Bad Brad, who finished fourth. Keep in mind, it's not just finishing position. It's total points. So even if you took Martin Truex Jr. and Allgaier, which would have been the best picks you could have done from a finishing position, it was actually Truex and Sadler who got the highest points, with Sadler getting a few extra stage points there for the finishing total there for the race. All right. That said, it's time for the picks. All right, this week we head to Martinsville. We're going short track racing. Of the last 23 races at Martinsville, Jimmy Johnson and Denny Hamlin have combined for 14 wins, 60% of the time over the last 23 races. Those two have taken home the clock. Jimmy Johnson has 9 wins. Does he carry his 9th place finish to his first victory of 2018 and his 10th win at Martinsville? Or maybe Denny Hamlin, he's got 5 wins here. Does he get his first win of the season and first of the year for Joe Gibbs? Keselowski won this race last April. Does he put Team Penske on the board? Or how about Kyle Busch, who won this race last fall? Can he avoid the pit road issues and close one out here early in 2018? All right, my pick for the truck race this weekend, Mr. Matt Crafton. I'm going old school. I'm going series veteran here. He won the race back in 2015, so I look for Matt Crafton to get it done. No Xfinity race this week, and my pick over for the Cup Series is Mr. Kyle Busch. He has 2 wins over the last 2 years here at Martinsville, so I look for Kyle Busch to avoid the pit road issues and to bring home the checkered flag this weekend here at Martinsville. Those are my picks. Don't forget to send yours in if you are playing in the league. All right, that is going to do it for episode 61 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. It was fun as always. Sorry if it was a little shorter. Voice is definitely heading the high road here a little bit. Very raspy. You could probably tell that as the show progressed there. Anyways, make sure you check out the show, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download, tell your friends. Don't forget to submit your fantasy picks. Tell your friends to give a follow at @LapTrafficPC so I can give this autographed diecast away. Huge thanks to Brett Moffitt for calling in and talking some truck racing. Working on next week. We'll see what's going on there. And I can't believe it. There's snow in the forecast. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!